If you have your Bibles, turn to the Philippian letter, chapter 1. Begin with me at verse 9. We read through verse 11 for our study. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. After the Apostle Paul had made his salutation to the people of God at Philippi, he began to pray for them. And I do not know of any way that a man can show his love for people than by prayer. And I do not know of any encouragement any more so than to have a righteous man praying for you. James said in James chapter 5 and verse 16, that the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I believe that when the saints of God at Philippi understood and recognized that the Apostle Paul was not just praying one time, but that he was continuously praying for them, that this was indeed a great source of encouragement unto them. This evening, when the Apostle Paul made that prayer, and we're able to read it, we also need to remember that every prayer that the Apostle Paul uttered deserves our study and our attention. Because in every prayer of the Apostle Paul, you'll find the doctrine of Jesus Christ. You'll find that it's all in harmony with the will of God. And I believe that young men and young ladies, as well as adults, need to take their Bibles and examine the prayers of the Apostle Paul and understand the doctrine of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the Philippian letter, as Paul made his prayer unto God, I believe there are at least two difficulties eliminated. I believe that we have one difficulty in prayer, in making prayer so easy. In other words, we just kind of labor under the impression that we'll just turn everything over to God and let God have it. I do not believe in the prayer of the Apostle Paul that he is leaving that impression. I do not believe that he is just saying, now just turn it all over to the Lord and you not do anything about it. I hear men today on television and listen to them on the radio, and they talk about, well, just turn it over to the Lord and everything will work out fine, leaving the impression that prayer is so easy and that prayer will eliminate every trial and tribulation that we have. But I believe if you look at the prayer that the Apostle Paul made, that he eliminated that view. And then there's something else I believe that Paul eliminated in this prayer. Sometimes people say, well, there's not any need of praying to God because God knows everything to begin with. Well, I'm sure that God understood and God knew the hearts of the people at Philippi, and yet at the same time, the Apostle Paul is praying to God on their behalf. So I believe that both of these things are eliminated in the prayer of the Apostle Paul. Now then, after looking carefully at the meaning of the prayer and understanding that he is praying in harmony with the will of God, let us examine carefully what he said. In verse 9, he made the statement, I pray that your love may abound more and more. In your Bibles, underscore the word love. And notice he said that I pray that your love will abound. And that means that he's praying that their love will increase, that their love will mature, that their love will develop. You know the first thing that you need to remember about increasing love? You cannot increase love unless it abides in you to begin with. When the apostle said, I pray that your love will abound, he is certainly saying that love is already in their heart. The Apostle Paul understood the love of the Philippian brethren. They had sent a contribution unto him to support him in the work of the Lord in some manner. And Paul was grateful for this. And he recognized that they loved him. And he understood that they loved God. But he is praying that their love will increase, that their love will mature and develop. If you want a definition of the word love, I believe it's summed up in 1 John 5 and verse 3. When John said that love is keeping the commandments of God, he said this is love, keeping the commandments of God. I believe that when Paul prayed that the Philippians would increase in love, that he is embracing all of the commandments of God. Everything that is connected with the commandments of God is in love. For an example, I believe that he is praying that their love would show no partiality. And you know something, we need to remember that. Each of us had better be grateful that God has shown no partiality in his love. In Acts 10 and verse 34, the Apostle Peter said that God is no respecter of person. I believe that God has shown his love to every creature on God's earth, whether they be in riches or in poverty, whether they be black, white, red, or yellow. I believe that God loves all people without any respect of person. I believe tonight that God's children need to love each other without showing any partiality. Now, do not misunderstand me nor misrepresent me. I recognize that there are some people that you feel closer to than others, but this does not mean that you cut the love off, that you do not love them in the manner that God said. And I believe that when the apostle said that your love may abound, he is saying that you will show no partiality and that you will love all of the brethren, that you love all of mankind in the manner that God would have you to love them. But I believe there's something else involved in that word love. And that means that you consider the needs of other people and that you help other people when they're in need. Read with me from the book of James in chapter 2. Beginning at about verse 15, when James is describing unto us the kind of faith that pleases God is an active faith. He said, if you see your brother in need and you tell him to be warm and filled and you don't do anything about it, he said, you're not having faith. You're not having the kind of faith that pleases God because you're not showing your love through faith. In the Galatian letter chapter 5 and verse 6, when Paul was writing the Galatian letter, when he talked about faith, he said, love that worketh faith, or faith that worketh through love. Now, when Paul said, I pray that your love will abound, he is praying that they will show their love and share their love and do good unto people. I do not believe that a man can say that I love my brother without helping that brother. If the brother is in need, I need to manifest my love. And Paul said, brethren, I pray that your love will share with others. I pray that your love will abound and abound. But you know, I believe there's something else involved in that. I believe that in that love is opposition to sin. I believe that Paul is telling the saints of God at Philippi that in regard to your love, that you continue to oppose that which is evil. Now, let me tell you something tonight with the love of God in our heart. When we make a study of the Bible, we understand that God is holy and that God is pure and that God is opposed to that which is wrong and evil and sinful. In the book of Habakkuk, chapter 1 and verse 12 and 13, he talked about God being so pure that he could not look upon that which is evil. I believe tonight that as the people of God, that we're to pray that our love will abound more and more and that we'll stand in opposition to that which is wrong. Stand in opposition to sin. I hear some of my brethren talk about love and then they never condemn any sin. They talk about love, but they never show any opposition to that which is wrong. They never oppose any error. I just do not believe that brethren have the right love in their heart when they fail to oppose that which is evil, that which is contrary to the will of God, whether it be an immoral act or whether it be some doctrine that is contrary to the teaching of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now then, Paul said, I pray that your love will abound. And when he used that word love, he covers more than I think we realize. He is talking about love in opposition to sin. He's talking about love that shares. He's talking about love that matures and develops. And I tell you, brethren, we need to get back to examining that kind of love. But you know, it even goes a little deeper. In your Bibles, have you read Matthew 5 and 44 very carefully? I want you to listen to what Jesus said. And in my estimation, it is one of the most difficult commands in the Bible, the Word of God. In Matthew 5 and 44, Jesus said, love your enemies. Now, you just look at that statement for a moment. Love your enemies. Love the one that will persecute you. Love the ones that will misrepresent you. Love the one that will lie about you. You know, I can understand why Paul said, I pray that your love will abound. I pray that your love will increase. I pray that your love will grow, because I wonder in our hearts if we love our enemies as we should. Do not misrepresent me nor misunderstand me. That does not mean that I condone anything that my enemies do. And that does not mean that I never underestimate what an enemy will do to me. But it means that I'm to love that individual. I must not let hatred live within my heart. Paul said to the brethren at Philippi, he said, I pray to the God of heaven that your love will abound more and more. And I believe tonight we need to make that same prayer. And I believe that we need to instill that prayer into the hearts of young men and young ladies, and let them understand that we pray that their love will abound more and more in knowledge. But now look at something else. When Paul prayed that their love would abound, notice the direction that he goes in the prayer. If you will, look carefully at what he said. I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge. Underscore that word, knowledge. When the Apostle Paul was praying about the love for the people at Philippi that they should have in their heart, he said that it ought to be based upon knowledge. Now, what kind of knowledge is he talking about? What kind of knowledge controls my love? I believe that the knowledge that he is referring to there is not human wisdom, but he is referring to the knowledge of God, to base my love upon the teaching of God's infallible word. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, Paul said that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I need to know the Word of God and let my love be based upon that knowledge. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and about verse 2, when the Apostle Peter was writing that letter and talked about the newborn babes, he said, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. I believe that our love needs to be regulated by knowledge. Now, let me tell you something, brethren, that I believe is very dangerous. And that's when people talk about love without love being based on knowledge. I believe that Paul was not afraid to talk about knowledge and love, and I do not believe he was afraid to talk about love and knowledge. But any time that you separate the two, my friend, you're treading on dangerous ground. Now, let me give an example. There are some people that have knowledge and no love. Open your Bibles with me to the book of Matthew and the second chapter. In the book of Matthew and the second chapter, we have recorded the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, you'll find that Herod was upset in regard to the birth of Christ, and he wanted to find him. But the reason that he wanted to find him was because he had heard that he'd been born the king. And he didn't want any opposition to his political power. So Herod wanted to find where this babe was. Did you notice in the book of Matthew chapter 2 that he called for the prophets? He called for the scribes to come to him. And if you look at your Bible in verse 4, he gathered all the chief scribes and priests there. He wanted the one that had the knowledge of the Word of God to come and tell him where the babe was. Look at the next verse. In verse 5, so they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. Now notice, my friend, they quoted the prophet. They said, in Bethlehem, in the land of Judah. Why, they knew that scripture and they had that scripture memorized. It didn't take the chief priest 1 second to quote that scripture. But you know something, my friend? They had knowledge and no love. When you have knowledge and no love, your knowledge is in vain. And when you have love with no knowledge, it is in vain. They go hand in hand. And you find a lot of people tonight among my brethren that talk about love, and their love is not based upon knowledge. They'll come out with some kind of a far-out idea, and then they talk about love, but they never give you the scripture. They never tell you, here's the foundation of it. Notice that when Paul talked about love, he said that I pray that your love will abound more and more in knowledge. My friend, tonight we need to study our Bible. We need to know more about Christ. We need to know more about our Father. We need to know more about the Holy Spirit. We need to know more about the Word of God in order that we might have the right kind of love that we should have. Love without knowledge is wrong, and knowledge without love is wrong. Paul is praying that they'll go on together. But now then, if you will, come back with me to the Philippian letter, chapter 1. He also said, in regard to his prayer, that all discernment be made. Underscore that word discernment, or judgment. You know, there are a lot of people that have the knowledge of the Word of God, and they have the love in their hearts, but they lack the wisdom to apply it. You've got to be able to have wisdom in application of the love of God. You've got to know how to use the knowledge and how to use the love. You've got to be able to use good judgment. I remember one time when I first started preaching, I read a book that someone wrote, and I had a statement that I really liked. It said there are three kinds of senses: revealed sense, common sense, and nonsense. Now, my friend, if you've got revealed sense, that's the Word of God. And then you need wisdom or common sense to carry that out. Knowledge based upon love, love based upon knowledge, and then use judgment in sharing that love and in sharing that knowledge and letting people see that Jesus is in your life. Isn't that a beautiful prayer from the lips of the Apostle Paul? Notice he said, I pray that your love may abound. Knowledge and discernment. But notice something else in verse 10. That you approve the things that are excellent. One statement that was made along that line that I really like. And that is that it means to know that which is vital. That which is important to love. That which is important to knowledge. Now let me give an example of that. It is necessary in one way that we have a place to assemble. And it is good that we have fine meeting houses where they're air conditioned in the summertime and heated in the wintertime. All of that is good. But the vital thing is to make sure that the membership is right with God. Righteous membership is that which is vital. I sometimes wonder when we talk about love, do we approve the things that are vital? Do we approve the things that are excellent? Do we test those things that are good and evil and then make our decision on that which is right? You know, my friend, we need to learn about love. It needs to be based upon knowledge. We need to have discernment in regard to it. And we need to be able to approve the things that are excellent, and therefore be able to discern and use matters of judgment. When I say approve things that are excellent and that which is vital, I mean that sometime in our judgment that we remember what is vital to the cause of Christ. You know, if we could get brethren to listen to what Paul said in that prayer, we wouldn't have the division we have within the ranks of the body of Christ. And when I say within the ranks of the body of Christ, I'm talking about even in the ranks of conservative churches. We wouldn't be splintered up like we are among brethren if we would approve that which is excellent, base our love upon the Word of God, and use judgment in sharing that love, and approve that which is good, and approve that which is right, do that which is vital to the cause of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul said he was praying about. He said, brethren, I want you to know that I pray that your love will be in knowledge and in discernment, and that you may approve the things that are excellent. But notice again, if you will, in verse 10, that you may be sincere and without offense. The word sincere, if I understand, simply means genuine or pure. Paul is praying that you people at Philippi will be sincere, that you'll be genuine, that you'll be pure. You know what I hear a lot of young people saying today, and I can understand why at times. Many times they say, I don't know if you can find anyone that's really sincere. And you know why they make that statement? It's because sometime in some of us adults, they fail to see that which is genuine and that which is pure. In the family life, mothers and fathers in front of your children, Paul is praying that your love will abound, that your love will be sincere, and even in dealing with your children, that you be sincere, and that it be pure and without offense. I think when he said without offense, that includes to God and man, that you be sincere unto God, that everything is open before God, that your heart is ready, that your heart is genuine, that your heart is pure, and at the same time that you live in such a manner that you will not cause one to be offended. I'll tell you, my friend, when the Apostle Paul was making that prayer unto God, I wonder if I've ever touched the hem of the garment to it. I know that I do not have the knowledge and the wisdom to get everything out of it that I should. But the more that I look at that prayer, and the more I listen to what Paul's saying with a sincere heart, and pouring his heart out unto God, the more I realize that we need to get back to listening to what Paul prayed for. But I want you to notice something else, if you will. In verse 11 in that prayer, and when he talked about their love, he said also, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Underscore that, filled with fruits of righteousness. If you want to put something beside that verse, just jot down John 15. When Jesus said, I am the vine and ye are the branches, Christians are supposed to be bearing fruit. And Paul is praying that the saints at Philippi would have the knowledge of God's word, love in their heart, wisdom to carry it out, be filled with the fruits of righteousness. Someone brought out in one of the lessons, and I agree, one reason we're not baptizing people, we're not going to them. And one reason that we're not going to them is the fact that we're not bearing fruit. We need to understand that I am a branch in the vine and that I am to bear fruit in the vine. I am not to be a noisemaker. I am to be one that bears fruit. And Paul said, I pray God this is what you'll do. You know, brethren, in some places I find my brethren making a lot of noise. And they do a lot of shouting sometime, and they talk about, oh, how they love the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm looking for the kind of people that are filled with the fruits of righteousness and therefore doing God's will in God's way. Now then, when you look at the prayer of the Apostle Paul, can you not see the prayer he prayed was sincere? Can you not just feel what was in his heart and how he loved the brethren? And I want to tell you something tonight, good people. If there's any prayer on God's earth we need to utter tonight and utter it for each other, is the same prayer that the Apostle Paul made on the behalf of the Philippian brethren. But did you notice how he closed it? And if we're not careful, we'll overlook it. And I don't even know the words to express it. Paul said in that last verse, in verse 11, and he said, to the glory and praise of God, everything that you do in love that's based upon knowledge, do it to the glory of God and the praise of God. Not for the praise of yourself, but for the praise of God. As Brother Stephen brought out a moment ago, we praise God in singing. We praise God in our prayer. All of it is to be the glory of God. The preaching is to be the glory of God. Your life is to be the glory of God. And young men and young ladies, in the days of your youth, may you remember the prayer of the Apostle Paul. And may you present your body as a living sacrifice. And may you praise God and give God the glory in your life. Look at that prayer carefully. Paul said, I pray that your love will abound, grow day by day. No, you're not born full grown in love. That love has to be developed, and it has to grow every day of our lives. And this is the prayer that Paul made at that particular time. It may be that you're in the audience tonight and you never responded to the will of God. There's nothing any greater than being a child of God. You enjoy the blessings in Christ. You're able to pray, you're able to sing, you're able to eat the Lord's Supper. You're able to have fellowship with God and know that your heart is right with God. If you'll believe in Jesus Christ, repent of your sins and be baptized, as the Bible teaches in Acts 2:38, you'll enjoy these blessings, and then brethren will be praying that your love will abound more and more every day of your life. While together we stand and sing, we cordially invite you.